One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, I'm excited about today.
Are you excited about today?
I am, yeah.
Out of 10, how excited?
Ooh, about 8.5.
Darren? Where's the 1.5? What's lacking?
Co-host.
All right, Darren. Are you ready?
Christ.
Oh, my God, Darren.
Just redlined. It's all right, I'm only dying.
Swallowed it?
Yeah, it's gone.
Right, let's go.
Molly Green and
Darren Rudge.
Alan, it's Molly and Darren.
Hello, Molly and Darren.
Hello, how are you? You recognise us?
I do.
Yeah, sure you do.
The Happy Garden.
Good old Titchers.
Love Titmarsh, as my mum calls him, Titmarsh. I'm Molly, a very, very warm welcome to the Happy Garden podcast. And Darren Rudge, the Laughing Gardener, with us. All right, Dazzler.
Hello.
Hello, you. All right. How's things? Have you had a good week since we last spoke?
I've had a fantabulous week. Writing study packs, teaching, doing a little bit of landscaping here and there. Oh. There you go.
We were talking about study packs when we left you last time. Have they gone down well with the students, the study packs?
Yeah, I sent you a study pack, actually. Have you done the homework?
Did you? Oh, God, you did as well. I couldn't open the attachment, Darren. I'm sorry. What? Now, talking of working outside, though, let's press on. My goodness, has the weather turned. I think we've all had our heating on this week. I've lit the fires this week. And you've been working outside this week, so you'll have noticed, Darren. The leaves, the colours of autumn are beautiful at the moment.
Oh, it's a stunning time of year. And actually, autumn is one of my favourite times of year because of the colour and the berries and the fruits and things like that. It's wonderful, isn't it? A lovely time of year.
Yeah, it is. One of the things autumn hails, which we'll be talking about on the Happy Garden podcast today, is hibernation, of course. We must talk about hedgehogs and the little creatures that are going into hibernation. Today, though, we are centering on the ladybird. Now, my goodness, if you've had a look at our Facebook page, the Happy Garden podcast Facebook page, you'll have seen a little picture, a little video that I put up that happened to me in the week. Have you seen it, Darren? Have you seen the not invasion? It's my fault because I opened the window, but have you seen the enormity of hibernating ladybirds in my crack?
Totally. And there's been masses, hasn't there? They've been everywhere.
Yeah.
People's toilets, in between their double glazing like yours.
Yes.
All over the place.
Well, this is the thing, they've been finding somewhere to hibernate, and the big, big black flies that we've seen as well. But because we had some heat last week before the frosts came, they all sort of came back out again. Anyway, something we're going to be talking about a little bit later on. Darren?
Yes.
Did you hear about the ladybird who fell in love with a bedbug?
No.
Oh, didn't you? They got married in the spring. There we go.
Back at you. Uh-huh. Did you hear about the man who died in a vat of coffee?
Man, vat of coffee, dead. No.
His wife says it was a quick death because it was instant.
No. You didn't tell it as well as I did. This is all in the delivery, Darren. All in the delivery. How many are you going to do for us a little bit later on?
I've got five garden jokes this week. And my last one is superb.
OK.
Okay. I'm having nobody tell me that I've let anybody down.
Okay. let us be the judge of that, Darren. So that's a little bit later on. Also, really excitingly, we're going to do this soon, Darren, and I'm a bit scared. You know the burner phone?
Yes.
Yes. You may well draw breath. Now, if maybe you're new to our podcast and you haven't listened to the last six. Podcast one, we got out what we call the burner phone, which I got specifically for this show. So we can ring people. It's not a phone in so much on the Happy Garden podcast. It's a phone out. If people send us their number, we can call them, which we tried to do.
There's a problem.
With Dave. There was a problem. Something happened to Dave's voice. It's similar to the strange chipmunk thing that happened a couple of episodes ago. And he turned into Satan. And so he's now called Demon Dave. And we locked the burner phone in a lead-lined drawer and put a clove of garlic on it since.
So will today be another day he collects another soul?
Another soul. Sorry, I've spoken to Dave since. He is still alive. But yeah, it's Nigel. Nigel wants to come on today.
Oh, great. Nigel.
What's the song about Nigel?
We're only making plans for
Nigel. Well, let's hope Satan's not making any plans for Nigel because he's going to join us very soon. All right. Also, we're going to be answering your gardening questions. Well, Darren is. So if you have emailed or if you'd like to email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, then we can get your questions answered. Hasn't got to be plant related. We can also discuss advice on, well, anything really, fencing or paving or... Darren, don't forget, is an award-winning garden designer. So maybe you want a rejig of your garden or you're starting from scratch. Daz will be able to help. Tools, lawnmowers, any advice on that sort of stuff. That is what we are here for. And also, I thought we'd wheel out Andy Lound this week, Darren.
Yes!
Yay, Andy Lound! Amaze and astound with Andy Lound, award-winning author and historian. Today he's going to be doing the history of carrots.
Do you know they used to be purple?
Carrots, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah? So... I won't steal Andy's thunder.
No, OK, we'll leave it there then. All right. So all that and more to come.
All of this and more still to come on...
The Happy Garden.
With Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
Would you like to start with some jobs for the week ahead?
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes... Go.
Okay, folks, it's nearly time for bare root season. This is when you can purchase plants at a quarter of the price because these plants have been grown in an open field and just dug out of the ground. It's mainly deciduous plants that we buy in this way. It's a great time to start to prepare the ground, give it a good fork over and get ready to be planting our bare root deciduous trees, hedging and shrubs. You can also buy evergreens, but they are root balled, which means they've got a mesh around the root system. And again, it's a good time because they'll be a quarter of the price as well. So start to prepare for it. In the next couple of weeks, folks, you'll be able to start purchasing them and then get them into the ground. All kinds of pot ground trees and shrubs can also be planted, of course. So it's warm and it's wet at the moment. So again, if you've got pot ground plants, you can pop those into the ground. Check young trees and shrubs and make sure that their stakes are secure. Windrock can seriously damage young trees and shrubs and tear that root system, causing them to die. And check all wall shrubs and climbers to ensure that they are really, really firm, again, for the autumn and winter to come. More jobs later.
Darren. You told me something a little bit earlier on, which we must reiterate, and I feel responsible for this. Now,
what would that be?
In your jobs, it was a while ago. In your jobs for the week ahead, you were talking about planting, and the fact that this is a great time to plant, which I intend to do this week with Rosa Molly Green.
Oh. Finally getting it into the ground.
I am, because I've been looking at it for a little while with love, and I'm a bit scared to plant it, just in case anything happens to it. This is the beautiful rose that Darren got named after me. But you did tell me a little bit earlier on, it's cost you quite a lot of money, because you delivered this rose to me as a surprise when I was in Birmingham City Centre, and you drove all the way in from the Black Country in the car to Birmingham.
Mm. I did.
Go on, and say what the problem is.
When you drive into Birmingham, folks, there is a congestion charge. And it's not really your fault, Molly, although I do blame you. But I forgot to pay. So now I have a fine.
See, it was Clean Air Zone. £60. Yeah, 60 quid. It's Clean Air Zone in Birmingham City Centre. And it's 8 quid, isn't it? And it is so easy to forget to pay it. Not intentionally, it's just so easy. And you said you sat bolt upright in bed the other day and thought, ah. Oh.
Well, it was the Saturday before last when I came in and bought you your rose.
Yeah.
And basically...
Too late, mate, too late.
Too late on Sunday morning afterwards.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know about
you. You can't plead with them.
Exactly. I've rung up. I spoke to a really nice lady and I got 4 fines. I'd forgotten 4 times to pay it. And I literally said, please. She said, nope. £240. Wow. So I'm so sorry you've got that fine.
Did she laugh afterwards?
No, she didn't.
No.
There was no cackling, but I feel like I ought to pay half of yours, but I'm not going to. No good turn goes unpunished. I really better not let this rose die now then, hadn't I? Gosh, that's even more pressure. No. Anyway, listen, Darren, shall we? I'm scared. Look, I'm just prevaricating because I'm really scared about getting the burner phone out. Shall I do it? Because Nigel will be waiting.
Yeah,
now.
let's ring Nigel.
What's the song again?
We're only making plans for Nigel.
We're making plans for Nigel's soul. Right, here's the phone. Hang on. I'm getting it out of the lead-lined box.
God, it's suddenly gone cold.
We are. No, I've just suddenly gone cold. I've got a WhatsApp from Nigel.
Can see me breath.
Your icy fingers down your neck. Here we are. Here's Nigel. Hang on. He's just WhatsApped me. Hang on. What's happening here? He said, I was engrossed in a lesson on, would you believe, feeding birds in the winter? Oh, that's nice. Oh. I'm here. You can call when you can. Oh, he doesn't realise what's about to happen. Right, are we ready? Are we calling?
Yeah, we're
Shall
ready.
We call Nigel? There we are. I'm really frightened.
It's ringing.
On Nigel's behalf, I'm a bit scared.
It's ringing.
Oh, call declined. Hang on, it's declined us, Darren. Oh, that's Nigel now! Hello? No, hang on a second. I can't. Hang on, Nigel. Can't hear you. Let me press that. Nigel?
Hello.
Oh, Nigel.
Wow. Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Hello, Nigel.
You're here.
Hi,
hi
there.
It worked.
You sound normal, Nigel.
Normal, Nigel. I try to be. Most of the time. Yes, great to hear the dynamic duo.
Thank you.
I've just finished an online tutoring lesson. So I've
yes. What were you doing? What were you doing? Something on feeding birds. What were you doing?
I do online maths and English, but I do house calls as well. But it's I teach online. It was just a reading about feeding birds in the winter of all things. Would you believe? And then it was great. You know about how they struggle in the winter and they serenade us in the summer. So why don't we return the favour by feeding them in the winter? And it was all that. And what different birds eat. Different insects and different things in the gardens and how they keep their bugs down and everything else. And it's very informative.
So, Nigel, let me just hand you over to Darren then and see what we can help you with today. Dazzler?
Oh, yeah.
Hiya,
yeah,
Nigel.
Thank you. All right, there.
Sounds like you're having
Dazzler, yeah,
great
all right.
fun. I'm all right, thank you. Are you well?
Good. Yeah, keeping well. I've been catching up on the podcasts, you know, making my way through them and listening in and everything. I didn't write some bits down. I don't know. I've put it in the kitchen. I do keep notes. I do. About, what is it, the crisps? I did have a go at them. The nettle crisps.
Yes.
Did make them. Oh, yes.
And you're still alive.
I'm still alive. I made them. Pause. some were good. There was a variety. some I did, some I didn't. That's... Oh, that's it, yes. That's it. Yeah, I gave it to yeah, that's it. So, yeah, a variety, it was a, yeah, I suppose, yeah, a variety pack was definitely, yeah, yeah. they were good.
I have no idea what you two are laughing at. I'm just listening to you.
And so you what have a well, oh, well, the question, isn't it? The question for Darren.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that was my question for Darren. Sorry. Right. This is the one
we got there.
I was the one I'd got written down from the other day. It was the I just wonder what your thoughts were. Just not. Just generally on rose hips, because I've let a rose grow wild in the back garden with the idea of trailing it over the shed and everything. And it wasn't intentional, but in letting it grow a bit wild to trail it over things, and because of that, rose hips appeared. And I thought, oh God, you know, I forgot all about them. And then it got me thinking. I thought, well, you know, what's better than that? There's nothing. It's great that we cut roses. Neat, and they look good, of course. But then, is it a case of should we let some of them grow wild? Some, just you know, some to then get rose hips off to make the mighty rose hip syrup, which I've never made, but I'm going to have a go at, just like the nettle crisps.
Yeah, yeah, you should. That's what you should do.
Have a go.
You should let roses produce rose hips anyway. I mean, obviously, people do prune them, don't they? And tidy them up.
Yes.
But actually, a little bit of mess is good for the birds, as you've been telling us about, in the garden, but also for us, because you can make rosehip tea, rosehip syrup, all sorts of things. Plus, as you're dealing with the rosehips, Nigel, you can collect the seed.
Yes.
So the seed inside, you have to macerate it.
Yes.
So you have to take your wife's sieve. Okay.
Darren, I've told you about
that before. Basically, crush them and wash them through. And then you can sow them. What you do is you need to stratify them. So what you do there is you convince them that they've had a winter. And basically, you get some vermiculite and some compost, dampen it down, put it in a sandwich bag, and then put the seeds in the sandwich bag, seal it up, and then put it in your fridge for about 2 months. And then sow them. And they'll germinate for you.
Another beautiful thing about leaving the rose hips is the absolute beauty come winter. When you get the frosts on the rose hips. And the cobwebs, with frost on hanging off the rose hips. You will thank yourself if you've left some.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Oh, and the rose hip tea as well, rose hip tea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll thank yourself. It's a really good question for which we thank you. Oh, thank you so much for being part of Pod 7, Nige.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure.
You stay in touch.
Oh, of course, yes. I'll let you know more about goings on in the gardens and everything. Yeah, of course. I will stay. Yeah.
We could make
I'll be listening in.
Make a slot out of you. What's going on around Nigel's?
Oh, that's it. What's going
on? What's going on around Nigel?
That's got a good sound to it.
Tales from Nigel.
Pleasure. Oh. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we'll let you get on with your day and we'll have more tales from Nigel in another podcast. But for today, thank you ever so much, Nigel.
Thanks, Nigel.
God bless you both.
Ta-da!
Cheers, both.
Ta-da!
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye!
If you'd like to get in touch with Molly Green and Darren Rudge at the Happy Garden Podcast, then all you have to do is follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to send them an email at the Happy Garden Podcast, you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
If you want Darren's advice on anything in your garden, anything garden-related whatsoever, it, as I say, it's more of a phone out. And Darren, now we know the phone works, we can do it again.
And Nigel kept his soul.
I know. I think he left us normal.
Amazing, isn't it?
He kept his soul. So we have a normal burner phone, which we can call you on next week. So if you get one to, if you want to get involved, you can do. It's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, we've got our Facebook page up and running as well, which, again, is The Happy Garden Podcast. You'd be more than welcome to get in touch with us there. Now, Darren, we have put up, well, it was from my house, but oh my goodness, we've put up a thread, haven't we, on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page. I was only letting a fly out a couple of days ago, Darren, and I know, I say this, I've said this historically every single year about keeping your double glazing shut tight at this time of the year so the ladybirds can't get in there. And I'm not being mean against the ladybirds, but the problem is when it turns absolutely freezing and you shut the window, you're going to squash hundreds of them. Anyway, I'd forgotten about this and I went to let a fly out and I opened the window. And I mean, how many ladybirds do you think are on that video, Darren? 200, 300, 400?
Bazillions. Bazillions.
So it's really important that you check all your cracks before you shut your windows for the winter. Now, ladybirds we want to discuss today, and it's something I spoke to Paul Hetherington from Bug Life about in the week. Now, this is a quote from Bug Life's website. If we and the rest of the back-boned animals were to disappear overnight, the rest of the world would get on pretty well. But if the invertebrates were to disappear, the world's ecosystems would collapse. And that is a quote by Sir David Attenborough. And the charity Bug Life, their strapline is saving the small things that run the planet. So I did speak to Paul and I asked him about how ladybirds have fared this year in terms of numbers and whether the weather would have played a part.
We also have had some strong prevailing winds recently, haven't we, across most of the country. And that would have also blown in quite a lot of extra ladybirds from abroad.
Really? Where would they have come in from?
Predominantly from mainland Europe, because they could easily be picked up by those little gusts and brought over.
Wow, I didn't realise that. Do they want to come, or they are landing here? Or are we on their way and they've been helped along? How does that work?
They basically just ended up here because of the prevailing weather conditions, and of course they will soon be looking for somewhere to overwinter.
Yeah.
Assuming we do get a cold winter, in which case you'll start to see them coming into your house, into your sheds, and looking for shelter. But it's really good news, particularly for gardeners, because you know they are voracious munchers of aphids.
Yeah, absolutely. They are the good guys. But there's always, you know, Daily Mail, or there's always this demonisation of the foreign breeds and the interlopers. I mean, have we had that? And is it still something that we should worry about this year?
Well, we've already got the Harlequin ladybird, which has now established itself across virtually the whole of the UK. And it's now effectively a native species because it's beyond the point of being re-eradicated, right. Similar to the grey squirrel.
Nothing then that we should be overly worried about and, you know, don't kill what you think would be a harlequin.
There's absolutely no point now in trying to kill a harlequin. They are so well established, you'll not be achieving anything by it and you'll just be reducing the number of pest controllers in your garden and area.
And their establishment, is that of detriment to our natives now? Or have they found some sort of balance?
It looks like there is some sort of balance is being found. When they first came, they were out-competing things like the seven spot, which was our most common ladybird, and there was a decline in numbers of native ladybirds. But things seem to have stabilised now. The native numbers have gone up a bit, and the harlequins have dropped a bit.
Do we get non-natives blown in? I'm still fascinated by what you said, that they're just picked up. I mean, I wouldn't have thought they'd fly high enough for a thermal to get them. Clearly I'm wrong, because the thermals have got them. Are they just flying along at a normal height in France or wherever, and they're literally just taken up into the clouds?
Yeah, they just get caught by a gust and get pulled up into the air. I mean, there are things like the cloud-dwelling spiders that spend most of their lives in the clouds. They spin a web like a parachute and just float around up there to try and catch things.
What? I didn't realise that. As cloud-dwelling spider.
Yeah, cloud-dwelling spider. One of my colleagues had to do a survey of them a few years back,
yeah,
and basically made a leaf blower that sucked instead of blued, and then just went around sucking in the air,
yeah,
to sample them.
Oh my goodness. What do they look like? How big are they?
I personally haven't seen the cloud-dwelling spiders, but I would imagine they're quite small.
Tiny,
so you had to stay up there. In the same way that you will often see little spiderlings gather, that's baby spiders, gather on a fence, and they make a little like parachute on a windy day, and that's how they get dispersed into new areas rather than all ending up in the same place.
You're kidding. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Paul, how clever is nature?
It's incredible, isn't it? The way it adapts and finds ways of using things.
Back to ladybirds. How's it been? How's 2023 been? As always, Paul, it's not anything out of the ordinary that we've had record-breaking this, record-breaking that in terms of wind, weather, sun. As always, we've had those this year. How have the ladybirds fared?
It's been a bit of a so-so year. It was very wet for a long period in the middle of the summer. Aphid numbers are generally down, which is not good news for them. And of course, we had absolutely baking temperatures on continental Europe, which is another reason why a lot of ladybirds will have wanted to escape from there, because there wouldn't have been very much food around.
Well, do you think they know if they fly high enough that the wind will get them?
Maybe they do.
Maybe they do. But we have to just quickly talk about, well, not quickly actually, because this is the main reason I wanted to speak to you today, about the window cracks. Now, every year, forever, I have spoken to Bug Life around this time because I worry so much about the ladybirds, and it's happening in our house. In fact, I was upstairs just 10 minutes before I spoke to you. And I opened the window fully because it is so warm today. And as I opened the window fully, at least 200 ladybirds fell out because it was on the crack originally. It was just on the latch. The double glazing was on the latch. Flung it open, about 200 ladybirds fell out. They're already starting to congregate in the cracks, aren't they? They're already trying to find somewhere to overwinter now.
Yes, I mean, that's what they tend to look for. And of course, particularly older houses offer a lot of really good places they can crawl into around window frames, door frames. More modern houses with airtight double glazing, much more difficult for them to find a place.
See, what I worry about is because there's so many in each one, because I do shout at my husband every time he leaves it open on a crack this time of year. I say, no, you've got to keep it shut tight at least for 2 or 3 weeks right now so they don't go in, because when you do shut it tight in the winter when the ice comes, you're going to kill an awful lot.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. And far better if they go into our sheds and our houses, because this also can often be far too warm for them to properly hibernate if they come into the house area.
Oh, really? So it's best to discourage them. It is best to keep your windows closed if you can now, isn't it? Just to discourage them coming in at all, because we do need to look after them.
Yeah, and it's best to encourage them to find somewhere outside, a nice leaf pile, a shed or a garage that's not going to get too hot, but will keep them frost-free, so they can have a good winter hibernation, because they need a lot less energy if they hibernate than if they're awake.
I'm looking at one on the coving right now as I speak to you. Shall I go and put him in the greenhouse, shall I go and put them in the greenhouse?
That would be a good idea. That's a nice place, isn't it, to be overwintering.
Yeah, I'll go and do that now. Paul, thank you so, so much. It's always nice to speak to you.
That was great. Lovely talking to you.
That's Paul Hetherington from Bug Life. I think, Darren, Bug Life, it's buglife.org.uk. I think they're going to be very good friends of this podcast.
I would think so, and he's a great guy, isn't he?
He's lovely.
And they are fabulous, fabulous folks anyway. I love Bug Life as well. Dealt with him a number of times over the years. They're always good to call and just take advice from. Mm. So there you go.
They're lovely. Have you checked your cracks?
It's a bit rude, isn't it?
Can I advise you
to? I was going to say, not lately.
It's worth doing before the proper frosts come. All right, good. Buglife.org.uk. They are fabulous. We'd urge you to go and check out their website. And also, and I don't know if you've noticed, Darren, I do specifically because of the cat food. Not so much the dog food, but these big black flies do target the cat food, which is such a waste of cat food once they've laid eggs on it. These horrible, well, I say horrible, I love all animals, but it annoys me because it wastes the cat food. I think they're called cluster flies. If you get close or spot any of these big dead house flies, that they look like blue bottles, these big flies. Bug Life have said have a close look before disposing of them, because these cluster flies have yellowish golden hairs on their thorax, a prominent dark and light coloured checkered pattern on their abdomen, and at rest both wings overlap across the abdomen, and physically they tend to be slow and sluggish. So if you've got those in your house at the moment, they may be cluster flies. Again, check your cracks.
It's always good advice, isn't it?
What, check your crack?
Yeah, check your crack.
Yeah, it's good advice for lots of things in life.
Definitely.
Shall we? Well, you're going
to
be
range of things.
Whole range of things. You're going to be doing SWAT or not shortly, which will profile the ladybird. Obviously, it's going to be not SWAT, but you're going to profile the ladybird in more detail as well in a little while.
Yes.
Are definitely. You actually? Are you?
Can't wait.
Did I ask you to profile the ladybird? I did. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you did. Cool. Yeah, and I've done the work.
Good. Good. Okay, hang on. Darren, Sarah in Malvern has been in touch on the happygardenpodcast@gmail.com. And Egypt Jean, mm-hmm. You see, Egypt Jean rivaled you last week with your jokes. Sarah says, Darren, I'm going to put this to you. Darren, what do you call a man with a map on his head?
I don't know. Go on.
Miles. We love head jokes. Any head jokes, please. thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
Darren.
Now, that was better than yours earlier.
You think? Darren, what do you call a man with a car number plate on his head?
Reg.
Oh, you knew it. Darn it. Darren, what do you call a woman with a radiator on her head?
Oh, God. I don't know. Go on.
Anita. Now, you're laughing, but do you actually get that?
Anita, yeah.
Anita. Nice one, Sarah.
It's like the Annette jokes. It's like the Annette, yeah. Annette jokes.
Annette curtains. Iva, and what's the other one? Iva Biggin. That's always funny. And what's the other one? Iva and... and Isaac. Isaac is also another good one for jokes. Isaac. No?
Okay.
Okay, I'll leave that there.
No.
Okay.
Isaac. Oh, yes. That's a bit slow.
Brilliant. Molly, Darren, this is an email, by the way, Darren. Molly, Darren, I'm enjoying the podcasts, listening to you as I type this. Do you think you could do a piece on apps for identifying plants, please? I'm trying to help my daughter in Norfolk to sort out her garden. She's tied up with her baby at the moment, so gardening isn't on her agenda, but it is on mine, and I'm trying to help. I'm confused over some plants as to whether they are weeds or not. Now, firstly, this is from Coral, who, hang on a second, before we even get into the question, in my little brown paper bag here. Oh, Coral now has sent you and I pin badges of forks and spades so we can wear them when we're doing our podcasts. It's the sweetest thing. Coral, thank you. So nice. A really interesting one, Darren, and you and I have spoken about this for many, many years, especially sort of February, March, springtime. How do you identify what's a plant and what's a weed? Are there good apps out there that might help?
Yes, there are, and I've done a little bit of research for Coral around and about, looking at the best plant identification app. And I've come up with one, but I'm going to profile sort of five or six, really. So it's true that there's an app for everything, isn't there? And if you're a plant parent or overall nature lover, we can really benefit from using a plant identification app. Gone are the days when we were searching through massive textbooks trying to figure out which plant or weed we were looking at in our own back garden. And even Google can be hard and not specific when you're looking for something specific. So now the camera on your phone can really work wonders for you. And you can have that answer in just a few clicks. So here's six, basically, to have a think about and try. I will tell you which one I think is best. There's PlantSnap, and PlantSnap has partnered with Snapchat to allow users to identify 600,000 plants in 37 languages, folks. It's super easy to use, both free, even the premium version. So no matter where you are, you can learn about the plant life around you. The next one to consider is an app called Planter. And if you're looking for an app that specialises in houseplant identification and its care, then this app is really for you. Planter is really user-friendly with lots of personalised tips for starting and tending to your houseplants. Then you've got LeafSnap, which operates as a field guide to to all the things that have foliage on them, developed with experts from Columbia University, the University of Maryland, and the Smithsonian Institution. So, yes, this is an American app, folks. The app uses high-tech AI to identify plants based only on photos of their leaves. Garden Answers is a cracking app to try. If you're looking for an interactive way to identify plants, take a look at this plant app. Aside from classifying plants, it provides tips on how to deal with common plants, pests and diseases. Just point and click your phone and you'll get an instant answer as to which species it actually is. Now, the one I recommend, folks, is PlantNet. Available in both English and French, PlantNet allows users to join groups to identify plants. The app also tells you whether a species is invasive or not, which is important for maintaining local biodiversity. And during testing, it correctly identified 15 out of 18 outdoor and indoor plant species. And the remaining three were actually identified by genus. Okay, it does also pinpoint you to a whole host of websites and Facebook pages, which is brilliant for when you're starting to work. And it's super easy to use, and it's totally and utterly free. And then the final one is Google Lens. It's fuss-free, fast, and sometimes breathtakingly accurate. This app, offered by Google, fares well by taking a photo or choosing one from your phone albums via free Google Lens app. The search engine just mines its vast library of public pictures to deliver the best matches in an instant. Sometimes it doesn't get it quite right. So my pick of the six, folks, is PlantNet. Have a look at that. It's free to download. It's free for you to use. Coral, I hope that helps you to choose an app that is right for you.
Darren, that was lovely. I didn't realise there was so much info out there. And Google Apps and all these other apps and stuff, they are so cool, aren't they? Literally point and press and you've got the answer. Isn't modern technology incredible?
Oh, it's wonderful. But, you know, technology is really moving at a pace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get better and better and better. So,
nice.
Yeah, get one and you can identify your plants. Good. I was just going to say what's most important about these things is choosing plants that you know won't be poisonous if you're thinking of eating something. So it's excellent for that if you're a forager.
Oh, you've just reminded me. We must soon, Darren, on the Happy Garden podcast, we must do something on mushrooms. The enormity, the different mushrooms and fungi that you see, and you'll have seen them when you're walking your dog or out and about kicking leaves. They're everywhere at the moment. I still daren't forage, even though you, year on year on year on year, historically, Darren, have done foraging masterclasses. I'm still scared. But they're all out there. We must do something on mushrooms. Because, of course, Darren, because of course, you're such a fun guy.
You got there before me.
Oh,
I was about to say it.
Yeah. But we'll do that in the next few weeks, definitely. Well, the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. It's on the... can you put it in the diary, please?
Oh, you want me to go to the diary, Dad? Do you actually want me to go to the diary? Hang on, here's the diary.
Next time I'm at your house, there's blooming wind chimes.
Diary. Now, next week we have got... Apple special, we've done that. Oh, I hate it. I'm licking my fingers like an old person. There we go. Next, we are going to be doing...
what do you mean, life?
We've got the Halloween special next week. How is it Halloween already?
It's spooktacular.
It is a spooktacular. Now, of course, we're going to be talking about pumpkins and stuff, but I did wonder next week if you might profile some... hang on a sec. Wait.
Is this the right one?
No. Hang on a second.
This? Oh, definitely not.
No chipmunk. No, we're done with the chipmunks.
How about this one? No. Oh, no. Hang on. Oh, now I don't know. Wait! Now I don't know what's happening. Hang on a second. Oh, Darren. Oh! Well, now I don't know how to get that out of my voice. Oh, God.
The burner phone's back.
Oh, no! Stop!
There. Oh, God! So many buttons to press. I was trying to find,
Oh, here we are. Oh, that's the same sort of thing. A monster voice. But why isn't it on your voice?
Because I'm not a monster.
It's no fun if it's just me.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But what I was going to say is if next week you could profile some herbs that witches used to use. A pinch of that, two pinches of this, and you're dead.
So could you do something like that? We'll profile some witches' herbs next week. That'd be all right.
Yeah, and I'll do my pumpkin skin cream.
Ooh,
recipe as well.
No way.
How about that?
Pumpkin skin cream.
Yes.
That sounds
my
good.
Exfoliant.
Ooh, now I like the sound of that. I'll put that in the diary, and I'll put the diary back down. There we go. Oh, Darren, I do like to plan ahead. So all that and more to come next week. Oh, and I tell you what I want to do next week as well. Sorry, dear pod listeners, this is a really long show. It's all Nigel's fault.
We don't get to meet anyway, so this is on air production.
On air production. What I'd like to do next week. Now, you know you bought me Rose and Molly Green, which you've already talked about, which cost you plus £60 for the Clean Air Zone charge in Birmingham City Centre.
Don't feel guilty.
I don't.
It's all right.
The same.
You don't need to feel guilty.
Okay. The same day, Claire and Paul, beautiful listeners, bought me in some roses as well, some shop-bought roses. Now, we'll talk about this next week. Darren, they've shooted. They were white roses and the heads, the flowers are sort of keeling over and dying. The enormity of fresh green growth coming out of the stem. Sorry, the wind chime's still going. Shush! Gives me hope that I might be able to turn these into some sort of... hang on a second. Gives me hope that I might be able to turn these into some sort of bush. Now, can we do that as a little piece next week as well? Is there any hope of turning shop-bought flowers into plants?
Well, there is, especially if they're woody plants. So like you've got, it's effectively a cutting. So,
we'll do that next week, yeah?
Yeah, no worries.
Really interesting one.
No problem.
Okay. Claire and Paul, they're just lovely. Okay, right, what are we doing next? I tell you what we must talk about very, very quickly, Darren. Now, Darren and I, if you've been listening to all of our six podcasts prior to this one, you'll know our background, where we're from, what we normally do. And Birmingham in Bloom has been a part of what we've done historically for many years. Darren and I present the Birmingham in Bloom award ceremony.
Yes, and we have a lovely time every year, don't we, Molls?
We do, and we meet the most amazing people and we hear the most amazing stories of how gardening has helped mentally and physically in communities, and it's wonderful. Sadly, Birmingham City Council has it gone bust, Darren?
They're bankrupt.
Oh, that's the one. I wasn't quite sure how to phrase that then.
They're bankrupt. Well,
they are. They're bankrupt.
They're bankrupt.
You've got to be honest. They're bankrupt. Anyway, the point is they can't afford us this year. And the ceremony has been cancelled, which we're really, really sad about because, as I say, we meet some amazing people. The crux of the matter is, Darren, we need to make some money. Yeah. At the moment, we're doing this for the love of it.
You'd like to donate first?
You'd like to donate? Well, I've got an idea. I've got an idea.
Oh, right. OK.
I've got an idea, Darren. I think this is genius. I thought about this in bed the other day. Because I have all my ideas in bed. Because we are getting towards the end of October and people have started buying mince pies and looking ahead to Christmas, I thought maybe you and I could do some Christmas light turn-ons.
Yeah.
At people's houses.
Yeah, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Literally. I mean, I don't know what we'd charge because you and I haven't discussed this. I mean, all we have to do is reach around behind the telly and you know, flick the switch. But if you want Darren and I in your living room live for what, 20 minutes, cup of tea?
Yeah.
What do you reckon? 100
cup
quid?
Of tea. Yeah, 100 quid.
£100 each.
We'll do a speech.
Yeah. speech photos.
And we'll turn the lights on.
We'll turn your lights on and have a cup of tea and £100 each. What do you think?
Well, you know, we'll do some selfies as well.
Selfies.
Eat a mince pie.
Anyway, it's just an idea. And happygardenpodcast@gmail.com. You've got to plan ahead, Darren.
Well, I think it's a brilliant idea.
It is, isn't it? We've got to sell ourselves.
Really, really good.
We've got to put ourselves out there.
Yeah. Okay. Are we going to get there?
I'll drive. I'll come pick you up.
Oh, you're going to drive?
Yeah. The petrol, by the way, the petrol is included in the £100 each. So
yeah. Travel expenses.
We're available. Yeah. I'll swallow that. It's easy.
I'm just thinking about suffering with tinselitis.
They've got to take a test before we come.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
If you've got tinselitis, we ain't coming in. Oh, Darren, so desperate.
That's brilliant. They're coming to turn the gas off next week.
Listen, Darren, do you mind if I go for a wee?
Yeah, I need one as well.
I'm absolutely serious. All right, I'll see you in a second. I've got to go.
Yeah, see you in a bit.
See you in a second. Okay. Hang on.
Oh, dear. Christ.
Coming.
Are you back yet? Oh, he's not back. It smells of wee in here.
That's better,
isn't it? Okay. Oh, that's much
right,
better.
Right, where are we going
okay,
next?
Okay, yeah,
then,
now
Mrs.
we're ready.
Green.
Ready for part two. Okay.
Part two.
The sequel. Keith's winter planter dash photo I've got on my sheet now. Did I send you Keith's winter planter?
You did?
Lovely. So he'd followed your advice. Yeah, he'd followed all the advice that you gave.
And that's going to give him so much colour through the autumn and the winter, you know, Molly. He'll be totally and utterly surprised as to what he gets from that. Gorgeous. Well done. Fantastic.
And he also sent a photo as well. And I know he's spoken to you about it before, Darren, and that's his morning glory. And so he sent a picture of his morning glory on the happygardenpodcast@gmail.com, which we were surprised and delighted to see. Thank you for your morning glory, Keith in Elswood.
But his morning glory was all the way over his archway. So there you go.
But Keith, thank you for letting us see it. It's glorious. Thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. And Darren, we've always said, haven't we? Yes, of course, gardening questions are more than welcome. So you can try and impart some of your fabulous, award-winning horticultural knowledge. But success stories like the aforementioned Morning Glory also welcome as well on the email.
Yeah, anything. And pictures are fabulous, folks. Do send us photos. I love a good photo because it tells a thousand things, doesn't it?
Of course, of course.
If you've got a plant problem in particular.
And you don't just have to use the email. If you would like to post on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page, then our whole community, our whole garden gang can help as well. It is just the Happy Garden Podcast. You'll find us on Facebook. Another question for you. Molly, Darren, loving the podcast. Just want to ask, what are the best autumn plants for planters? All the best for the podcast. Take care. And that's Patrick in Wolverhampton. Now, I know you did do a bit on this last week, but just to reiterate, best autumn plants for planters.
Well, if you go to your local garden centre or DIY store now, or local, shop down the road seems to sell them as well, don't they? You can buy these small shrubs, which you can plant in your garden afterwards, and they become larger shrubs. But they're all out there, things like hebes, skimmias, all those types of things are out there. Try a grass or two as well, so carex, those types of things, because they turn red in the winter. As well as your pansies, your primulas, those sorts of things. But underplant with bulbs, folks. So pop some crocus in, pop some tulips in, and pop some daffodils in as well. And you'll have forgotten about those. And come the springtime, they are the ones that will give you that big surprise because you'll have forgotten you've actually planted them.
Oh, have you finished? I've just taken a handful of peanuts. Sorry, I thought your answer would be longer.
Sorry.
I thought your answer would be longer than that. I just shoved about 5 peanuts in my mouth. Sorry.
You eating on the podcast?
I am. Just having a couple
and
of peanuts.
And here's me fasting. Fasting.
I'm so sorry, but it is. It's 25 to 2 and I'm not eating yet today, so I thought I'd just have a handful of peanuts in that question. Oh, dear.
Don't choke.
Is that really unprofessional? I love salted peanuts, though. I think for salted peanuts at the moment.
Oh, look, listen. Mm.
Have you eaten today?
Stomach started to grow. No, not yet.
Nothing. Have you had breakfast? What's your main meal today? What are you having later?
Beef stew and dumplings, I think.
Or is it whatever Mrs. Rudge puts in front of you? Don't lie.
Well, of course.
Oh, Darren. Why don't you? When's her birthday? Is it coming up?
No, it's in May.
Also, it's mine.
I don't know.
All the best people are born in May. Oh, but why don't you just surprise her and do her like breakfast in bed?
Surprise? Mm. Well, it's too far in the relationship for surprises.
Oh, Darren.
Been together 30-odd years.
Yeah, even more reason. I haven't put some more peanuts in my mouth. Even more reason.
Okay. No, she loves me all the same.
She young.
What, surprise her with a meal?
Yeah, surprise her with a meal. And she comes home one day. Have it all cooked.
Yeah.
With some candles.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, could do, couldn't I?
Mm, could do.
Some champagne.
Won't do. I love you, Darren. For all the wrong reasons.
Shush, she's just come in the room. Shush,
has she?
Don't tell her we're talking
I bet any minute. Oh, sorry, I hate it when people are eating. I bet she says to you any second, do you want a tea or coffee, Darren?
No, she's gone. Huh. She's gone upstairs.
Oh, okay.
She's not asked me about if I want another coffee.
Good. You don't deserve it.
Thanks, I don't need another coffee.
Oh, you're so rude. I bet she's giving you the middle finger as we speak. Oh dear, gosh, this is taking a while to record this. I still blame Nigel. Are you out tonight? Are you doing a talk? Are you okay for time?
No. I'm all right for time.
You're right for time.
At the moment.
Well, how did your talk in Oxford go in the week?
Good, really good. It was okay. There was not about 60 people there.
Did they receive
you? They all seemed to enjoy it.
Did they receive you well?
Yeah.
Did they clap?
Seemed to. They clapped at the end.
Did you have the clap?
Yes.
This is worse than last week. Right, hang on. Where are we? Let me get me back to my sheet because this is ridiculous. Right, morning glory. Pat, gum. Right, let's do SWAT or not. Where's SWAT or not?
Now in the happy garden.
What is it? Is it a bee?
SWAT!
Or not?
I vote not!
Definitely voting not this week. Go, Darren, go!
Okay, well, in the world, there's about 5 different species of ladybird, folks. These much-loved creatures are also known as lady beetles and lady bugs in some parts of the world. They come in many different colours and patterns, but the most familiar to us is the 7-spotted ladybird, with its shiny red and black body. In many cultures, ladybirds are considered to be good luck. Most people like ladybirds because they're pretty graceful and harmless to humans. But growers actually love them because they eat aphids and many other plant-eating pests. One ladybird can eat up to 5,000 insects in its lifetime. Most ladybirds have oval dome-shaped bodies with 6 short legs, depending on the species. They can have spots, stripes or other markings all over their body. 7-spotted ladybirds are red or orange with 3 spots on each side and 1 in the middle. That's why they're called 7-spotted ladybirds. They have a black head with white patches on either side. Ladybirds are colourful for a reason. The markings tell predators, eat something else I taste terrible. When threatened, the bugs will secrete an oily, foul-tasting fluid from the joints in their legs. They may also play dead. Birds are ladybirds' main predators, but also they fall victim to frogs, wasps, spiders, and dragonflies. They lay their eggs in clusters or rows on the underside of leaves, usually where aphids have gathered. Larvae, which vary in shape and colour based on species, emerge in a few days. Seven-spotted ladybird larvae are long, black and spiky, and we often call them the little crocodile. When they reach full size, they attach to a leaf by their tail and the pupa is formed. Within a week or two, the pupa becomes the adult ladybird. Ladybirds are happy in many different habitats in this country, including grasslands, forests, cities, suburbs and along rivers. Seven-spotted ladybirds are also native to Europe. They're most active from spring until autumn when the weather turns cold, and then they come indoors and look for a secluded spot to hibernate, such as in rotting logs, under rocks or inside Molly's window cracks. These hibernating colonies contain thousands of ladybirds. And that's it. There's your profile of the ladybird, and definitely not to swat.
Molly and Darren.
Do you know who we were? Now, let's get back to another question. The Happy Garden Podcast at gmail.com if you want any of Darren's advice. And don't forget, there's not much he doesn't know. Award-winning garden designer and... What else are you? What else are you? I don't know.
You carry on.
No, go on. What else are you? I need to make a list.
Teacher.
Hang on.
Teacher. Member of the Institute of Horticulture.
Oh, hang on. Member of... The Institute of Horticulture. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Award-winning garden designer.
Designer, I've got that.
What does that mean? Did you say what does that mean?
Yeah, member of the... Member of
Institute
the what?
Institute of Horticulture.
Institute, okay.
When member of the Chartered Institute of Horticulture.
What do you do? Pay £25 a year? I'm sorry.
Cheeky sod.
I know, that's awful.
It's recognition of career goal.
I'm just jealous because I have nothing.
You have to do funny handshakes and everything.
Pass the conker. What else are you? Teacher, member of that, designer and good egg.
Podcaster.
Podcaster and good
broadcaster.
Egg.
Broadcaster.
Okay.
Good egg, yeah.
And good egg. I like to finish with good egg. So happygardenpodcast@gmail.com if you want Darren. So, Molly, Darren, I'm so glad that we still do have you doing the brilliant podcast. Now, this is from me, Julie, by the way. My mom had an amaryllis last year, which flowered beautifully. After flowering, we put it in a paper bag in the shed after cutting the leaves back. I came across it early September and I was glad to see new growth. My mom had it back, and every time that I go there, it's grown and it's now probably 25 inches. I presume I uncovered it too early, Darren? Question mark. My question is, will it still flower? I've repotted it so it isn't too top heavy. Thanks in advance, and that's me, Julie.
Well, me, Julie. Yeah, you need to leave them in a dark place until the end of October, really. It will flower for you, but it might flower early. So that's the thing. You normally want these in flower for Christmas, don't you, with those big trumpet-shaped flowers. Looks like the tannoy system, doesn't it, on the beach. And they're great, but yeah, keep them until keep them in the dark until end of October, early November, and then bring them out. You've done well to keep them. Some people can't keep them through the year, so well done, me Julie, and keep going and keep in touch. Keep listening in to the Happy Garden Podcast.
Again, you finished too early because I've just had...
Hello?
Another handful of peanuts.
Stop eating peanuts!
I can't help it, I'm really hungry today. Hang on.
La-la,
Sorry, Darren, it's really unprofessional. I'm really hungry. Darren, would you like a podcast room update?
Yes, please.
Now,
How's it looking?
Well, it's looking really good. The compost flies have almost gone. With your advice, I have changed the top centimetre or two of the compost on all of the 20 houseplants that I have in the podcast room. However, there was a problem in the week. Because the air printer, which is at 1 o'clock to me sat here, stopped working. There was a jam. And I addressed it and I took out the ink roller and I tried to pull the paper out. What came out with the paper was a vine weevil. I know, there was a vine weevil in the printer. Now, I'm assuming, Darren, because I've heard you profile vine weevils before, I'm assuming it was playing dead and it wasn't dead.
Well, it might be.
it could go either way.
Probably was.
Well, I put it out in the garden and I'm thinking of it as Schrodinger's vine weevil, and I like to think it was fine. It was in the printer. Now, out of all of the... I mean, it's only a small room. Out of all of the plants that I have in here, I'm suspecting it was the spider plant. Are they quite partial to spider plants?
Vine weevil will really have a go at anything.
Oh, any of them.
And the adult vine weevil you add in your printer will show itself because they're nocturnal and you get little discs taken out of the leaf.
Oh.
So if you have a look at the leaves... Then you'll see little disc shapes taken out of the leaves.
They all look fine. Mm. I was surprised to see
it. So it's walked in from somewhere because they can. They're all females, by the way, vine weevils, until they need to copulate, and then some of them produce the parts.
They grow one, don't they?
To produce them. Yeah, they do.
What a thing. What a thing. Just a thing. I'm going to grow one today. Thing.
Another little known fact, the slug's appendage comes out of its head. There you go.
We used to do that at school, did you? Used to put your hand up to your forehead and then do what you did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's actually what a slug...
Yeah, that's what slugs do when they copulate. One, they're hermaphrodite slugs, so they've got both sexes contained within. But one assumes the male and the other assumes the female. Oh. And they hang from low branches on trees and shrubs when they copulate. And the male produces his appendage and they wrap around one another. And then you get this big frothiness that goes on, Molly. And then once they've finished, they drop off. Once they've finished, they drop off, walk away and light a cigarette.
Walk away.
You're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. Gardening's answer to Sapphire and Steel. Or Ant and Deck. Either way, I can't tell which one is which.
Darren, we must thank our international listeners to the Happy Garden Podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Now, yeah. I've been trying to keep you up to date with the insights into our Happy Garden Podcast. I mean, it's crazy. We're at number... What did I say we were? Is it 10 in the German charts? Was it 10?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Number 10.
10 in the UK for Apple and Spotify. We're doing ever so well. But we also, and I think everybody should know, we are also... Let me just press refresh here, because I've got it in front of me here. And this is just blowing my melon, man. We are United Kingdom, obviously. Australia, United States, Germany, Spain, France, Ireland, Luxembourg, Belgium, Greece. Thank you all for listening. Canada, Denmark, Egypt, New Zealand, Poland, Austria, Indonesia, in Batam, in Malaysia. We're quite big in Pohang Batu Delbelas. And in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City. Amazing. Thank you if you're listening in any of those places.
Gobsmacked. Absolutely.
Gobsmacked.
Ho Chi Minh City, a black country City. Bloke.
There's you. There's me and you. I'm stuffing my face in Birmingham with salted peanuts. You're having a bit of a laugh in Bloxwich and there's people listening in Vietnam.
Oh, no. It's fabulous, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, thank you, folks.
Thank you
for listening in. Number 10 in the country.
Oh, no, that's
How
amazing.
On earth?
What? But if you are global, if you are listening internationally, wherever in the world, please, please do drop us a line on the Happy Garden Podcast at gmail.com or drop us something on the Facebook, the Happy Garden Podcast on Facebook. We'd love to know where you are and how you listen and whether you use Darren's tips as well to listen wherever you are in the globe. Thank you. Darren, I really hesitate to mention what's on my sheet next.
Uh-oh.
Can you guess what's on my sheet next? It's Pat's bush.
Oh, Pat's bush. Oh, no,
Pat's
not
bush.
Pat was tested last week.
I know. She's still rearing head. This has got to be 3 or 4 weeks on. I still actually don't think we've done Pat's bush. I mean, have we or not? We've got to put Pat's bush to bed. Well, we cannot go on with Pat's Bush?
I think we did, Pat's Bush.
I don't think we have.
Two episodes ago.
Yeah, but I think we did it. I edited it and it never went out. And then we half did it and then I actually tore it into pieces and put it in the bin and I've sellotaped it back together because I still don't think we've done it.
Could Pat contact us and tell us about her bush?
I'd imagine Pat's given up. We actually... I doubt Pat's listening anymore. When should you prune an evergreen jasmine? I mean, have we done that?
Well, I know
just
I
quickly,
have.
Just quickly do it. Out. Exactly. Just do it again quick.
After flowering, so Jasminum officinale, which is your evergreen jasmine.
Does ring a
then
bell.
Prune it straight after flowering. There you go. Okay. Job done. We've done it.
Hang on a sec, because there's three parts, and I'm sure we've done the identification of the laurel. But our giant South African impatiens perennial, I assume just a bedding plant, but the flower display is still magnificent, so I wondered if they'll come back next year. If so, how do I keep them over winter? We'll do that again anyway, because... overwintering things now is quite important.
You just need to keep it in a really cosseted place, Pat. So it is perennial, but if it's not in a place where frosts can't get at it, then it may die through the winter. Just make sure. If it was mine, what I would do is I would pop it into a pot and then put it somewhere nice and cosy for the winter months, and then you can put it back out in the spring. Okay.
Have we definitely done Pat's Bush?
We've done Pat's Bush now.
I never want to see Pat's Bush again.
Pat's Bush has been done to death.
Now, shall we do Andy Land? And then we will finish with jokes and jobs. Jokes for the week ahead and jobs for the week ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But first of all, we haven't had Andy Land on for a couple of weeks. Andy Land is amazing. He's an award-winning author. He's an award-winning historian. And today he's telling us about the potted history of carrots.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Hello, Morley and Darren. Today I will be telling you about the potted history of carrots. Carrots are the nation's favourite vegetable. 75% of Britons say they eat carrots regularly, and we crunch our way through more than 10 billion carrots each year. The British carrot is available all year round and is a vegetable we all know and love, but it wasn't always so readily available. In years gone by, the carrot was considered positively exotic. It is thought that the carrot first came from Afghanistan sometime around the 7th century CE, when they were originally purple. Carrots were known to the Greeks and the Romans. In fact, the Greeks called the carrot philtrum and used it as a love medicine, making men more ardent and women more yielding. The Roman Emperor Caligula, believing these stories, forced the whole Roman Senate to eat carrots so he could see them in rut like wild beasts. India, China and Japan had established carrots as a good crop by the 13th century. In Europe, however, they were not well known until well into the Middle Ages. At that time, doctors prescribed them for everything from sexual maladies to snake bite. The orange carrot is thought to have originated in 16th century Holland, where the original red, purple, black, yellow and white varieties were hybridised to today's bright orange, with its potent dose of beta-carotene. Some claim that the Dutch created the orange carrots to honour the Dutch flag at the time of William of Orange, but other authorities argue these claims lack convincing evidence, and it is possible that the orange carrot was favoured by Europeans because it does not brown the soups and stews as the purple carrot does, and therefore was much more attractive. Carrots moved to England during Elizabethan times. Some Elizabethans ate the roots as food. Others used their feathery stalks to decorate their hair, their hats, their dresses and their coats. Carrots are extremely versatile, delicious either raw or cooked, and are an integral part of many recipes from around the globe. America is famous for mouth-watering carrot cake. In India, carrots are used to produce a delicious fudge-like dessert called halva. Carrots are also an important ingredient in many Jewish recipes, such as simis, a sweet stew which is usually orange in colour. And of course, carrots were on the menus of many of the hotels in Vichy, France, as part of the cure for overloaded digestive systems, from where the traditional recipe of carrots Vichy come from. The myth that carrots help one see in the dark was propaganda used by the Royal Air Force during the Second World War to explain why British pilots had improved night vision, which enabled them to have great successes in nighttime air battles. In reality, it was thanks to the newly adopted radar technology. The suggestion, though, led to German scientists setting up a research programme into carrots. A radio programme called The Kitchen Front encouraged people to grow, store and use carrots in various novel ways, including making carrot jam and Woolton pie. So there you have it. The best aphrodisiac is a good carrot, but it won't improve your eyesight. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
And we look forward to it. He's ace, isn't he, Andy Lound?
He's great, Andy Lound is. And what a wonderful bloke. And a fantastic range of things he can discuss. It's fantastic.
He's a good egg as well.
We're all in the same basket, aren't we?
Of eggs.
Of eggs. Good eggs.
So, Darren, we're nearly done. Looking forward to next week. We'll talk about next week in a couple of ticks after we've done jobs and jokes. Which one do you want to do first? Do you want to do... Well, we've waited. Do you want to do your highly acclaimed jokes for the weekend? You've said these are going to be amazing.
I think I ultimately peak for my last joke. Okay. You can tell me.
Don't worry.
It's going to take some beating, this one.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
All right, then. Let's be having you.
Here we go, then. Mm-hmm. My vase of flowers died the other day, Molly Green, but then came back to life. It must have been reincarnation.
Oh, yeah. Give me that one. Yeah, definitely. Good.
For Valentine's Day last year, I received a bunch of flowers with their heads cut off.
Strange.
I think I'm being stalked.
Oh, equally as good, Darren. Come on.
Why did the rose stop dating the fern?
Rose, fern, dating, stopped, can't imagine.
She only saw him as a frond. Two.
Three.
What is a flower garden's favourite rock band?
Beatles?
Guns N' Roses!
Obvious.
Number five.
Even though I didn't get it.
This is where I ultimately...
Okay.
This is where I ultimately peak.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every morning, Molly, I take my cow for a long walk through the vineyard.
Cow?
Yes, Molly, I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, I see! Oh, as in you heard the... Oh, Darren!
Try.
Yeah, no, good.
I really
try. Yeah, that's good. Excess of peanuts. I'm with you now. Good, that's good. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
that's
no,
fine.
That's good. Yeah. No, that's good. Shall I come back at you?
Yeah, go on, then.
Oh, mine's not as good as
yours. What
you
got?
Darren, why don't ladybirds ever play hide and seek?
I don't know.
Because they always get spotted.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Good thing we finished. I think you finished on a high there. Is your
I think.
Is your kettle back on?
Oh. Yeah, I'm having a coffee made for me.
Having a coffee made for you. I didn't actually hear Mrs. Rudge come down and offer you a beverage.
No, she.
Did you gesticulate?
She sneaks past on her hands and knees.
What's the signal for would you like a coffee? I know what signal I'd give you, but what does...
it's a V shape.
One lump or two, Darren?
Or two. Yeah, exactly.
Could you please pass on my regards to the wonderful Mrs. Rudge at some point today? Tell her we all love her.
Will.
We feel her pain and we love her.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like the mother in Tom and Jerry, isn't she?
Is she?
Skulking around in the background.
Skulking around. The glue that holds it all together. And don't you forget that, Darren.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Mother to my children.
Let's stop there, Darren. Really, let's stop there. What are you having for dinner? Whatever's put in front of me.
I told you. Beef. Yeah, exactly.
No, we do love you.
Don't get any choice.
No, Darren.
Don't get any choice.
Oh, poor you! really. Let's leave that conversation and get back to the Happy Garden podcast. Now, I've enjoyed today's pod. I think it's been fine. It's lengthy, but it's fine.
It's definitely.
Just blame Nigel.
Blame Nigel, yeah. Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks, Nigel. No, we're kidding. If ever you want to come on, you can. It's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Leave your question, leave your number, and we could be calling you next week. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? Also, next week, we will do the cut flowers, if that's okay, Darren. We'll look at how you could turn cut flowers into bushes, to plants. And also, of course, it being the sort of like, we'll do a Halloween special, a witch's herby special.
Yes.
Oh, listen to your poor wife.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
I'm getting your tea ready.
Oh, poor Mrs. Rush. She's getting your tea ready.
She's getting my tea ready. Oh, told you.
Darren. Why don't you go, when we finish now, why don't you go out and buy her something nice?
I will do.
Will you, don't really? Don't go down the garage.
Yeah.
Go down like John Lewis or something.
What,
no.
You mean down, tell her you got paella for tea.
Oh, God. You got paella for tea?
Paella for tea, there you go.
Now that's
paella.
She's just made me a lovely cup of coffee, look.
You've got paella for tea. Paella's difficult, you know. It's not an easy throw-together dish. But I really appreciate her for you, because that's a long-winded dish, paella. So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, lovely.
Go and get us something nice.
I'll enjoy it.
I know you will.
Yeah, I will do.
Go and get us something nice. Will you report back on the next podcast? What you went and got her.
I will do.
Don't go down the garage.
Yeah.
Not from the Esso, Darren. Not from the Jet. Go down Rackham's or something. Promise
me. I'll buy her something. I'll promise. I'll buy her a nice present.
Okay.
Might be plant-based.
No, that's nice. That's nice. Okay.
I'll get a nice present. And she can report back next week I've actually bought her.
I would like a report from Mrs. Rudge as to what gift for all the hard work she received. Right then, Dazzler, I think it's time to say goodbye. I have thoroughly enjoyed today's pod. Thank you so much, and we'll do it all again same time next week.
We certainly will. It's been fun, lots of laughs, and my jokes were just brilliant.
They were. And I would like them to be ghost-based next week.
Sorry, that's ridiculous. I'm so excited about all the sound effects on this thing.
For our spooktacular podcast next week.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Jerry, you'd think I was five. I'm so excited about all these buttons.
Oh, no.
But we'll have a laugh. Go and enjoy your paella. Give your wife a massive cuddle and tell her how much you love her, Darren, after you've gone out and got a huge gift.
I will do. I love you.
Oh.
There you are. You
Hang should. On, I'm listening for a response. Do it again.
Joanne, I love you.
Silence.
Emma. Guess what I'm doing?
Oh, I... about to cut Darren's head off. Bye, Darren. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you next week. That's if Darren hasn't ended up in the paella.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.